This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks for the 21st day of August 2019. Y'all definitely sent me back to school as I had to do a lot of history on the whole issue of the BDF. And if it did not raise to prominence during its anniversary, it sure has done that on today's Down to Brass Tacks. I can see that the Barbados Defense Force, I understand, is the combined armed forces of the then Coast Guard and the Harbour Police. And it did take place around the threats by Sidney Burnett Allen back in 1976. One of the writings, actually, with an interviewer, someone interviewed the arms dealer, a mercenary leader, and it said back then, I think this is in February 3rd, 1984, it said here, as a man who is never reluctant to let the people know about his desire to overthrow the government of Barbados by force, Sidney Burnett Allen is always under close scrutiny. And he said at one time, and they quoted, "I know they watch me, but I'm outside of their reach," said a man who planned to land a band of mercenaries on the beaches of Barbados and to take over the country towards the end of the 1970s. Was first dismissed as a bad joke, but taken seriously when he was arrested off Mark Neat. And that's just to take us back into history. I had said earlier about my friend Major Carlos Lovell. He is actually the Lieutenant Colonel of the BDF. So again, I get the opportunity to re-promote him to the stature that he holds as the commanding officer of the Barbados Regiment at this time. So sir, apologies, and your promotion has been restored. So you can head over to the front of the class. Now, the WhatsAppers, I have not been neglecting you. As I said, we were down for a while, and I just want to share some of your comments at this time. This one says, "Hi, Corey, I came out medically unfit. When the NIS lady came and interviewed me, she said I will get my NIS invalidity benefit pension and a reduced pension from the Treasury until I get 67. She used the word benefit all, and then all of a sudden, it's a different word. I signed up at work last year, August, for a reduced pension from the Treasury. And then this year, when I got my gratuity, they told me it stopped and I can't get any. I would like to know when it will start back, if I will be entitled to what is mine. I can't live off of the invalidity pension until I am 67. I am 62 now, and I am in tears and suicidal as I can't pay my bills. I can't take out a loan to pay my rent. What am I going to do? I am very emotional. Now I've reached out to that person and I'll see if we can get two things for them. One, some answers, and two, some movement on where we go from there. Hi, Corey. Please tell Mr. Cameron that a lot of youth groups started with only young people and still going strong with young people, still playing a leading role as part of their management. The region's youth group and Pinelands Creative Workshop are two that come to mind. Good morning, sir. The constant debate about men and women are nonsensical. We were taught at school when the debate of co-education came up. We as students discussed the purpose as we have to live together, cohabiting. We better get to be familiar with the opposite sex. As women were the ones who gave birth to men, trained us, gave us sometimes our first ball, maybe taught us to tell our first lie. We should believe that women knew better than we gave them credit for. Women absolutely know men. We must learn how to live with the opposite sex." Good afternoon, 9 minutes after 12, we turn back over to the phone lines and we say good afternoon and welcome to our next caller.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Yes, please. Good afternoon, madam.
Now, listen, I've got three quick things to talk to you about. Don't upcast, my phone does cut out sometimes, okay?
No problem.
First, you remember, I don't think you could remember those things years and years ago. Even my, I'm 71 now, my times, when women have children and go to men for money, what the man, someone will do is box them down in the street. Women didn't have no say in those years. In I can't remember behind 47. I'm going back for my, you know, I can remember. I never see it happen to my parents, but I can tell you, I seen it happen when I was even 7, 8, 9 going on. Men beat women, will you come to me for money for, and yet they're going home and expect food. Women today are liberated. Women today are free. We don't have to answer to no man, and no man have to answer to us, right? So if a woman do not want to have nothing to do with a man, it's okay. She have a child, and she don't want nothing from the child. Woman today is going to the those bank where you get it to have babies, because they don't want to have no trouble with no man. You know, women today are not like the women in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. We are a free bird. We don't need man. We don't want man. And if we have one, and I have one, I cherish. But put it that way, I have two daughters. One have three babies, one lose two babies. They don't want no more man around them. They cannot stand them because they're lying, and they, you know, they cannot. So I am with my two daughters and my nieces. They don't want no man.
But when we generalize, we just create such a danger in both sexes, because we say all women are this and men are that.
You must answer them. You know who write the Bible? It's men. And men write it to suit themselves, and women should obey man or whatever the stupidness is. We don't have to obey nobody. Men write the Bible. Not one woman ever write any scriptures in the Bible.
My problem is not even the writing of the Bible, is what is highlighted and how it's interpreted. Because the line after women, subject yourself to the men, is men, subject yourself to your women, and love them like God loved the church. But those parts are never highlighted. So I think the highlighting and the interpretation is the problem, and not necessarily the writing.
Anyway, the next thing I'm talking about, Barbados, Jamaica, the rest of the Caribbean. Jamaica got rivers with millions of tons of gallons of water, and yet the people out there are suffering for water shortage, because I don't know why. And we have the sea where we get the water from. Barbados is a country that is very, you know, in a way, water scarce. We got to learn to look after ourselves with the water. What I do, Kim Corey, I have a bucket of water in my loo, right? So if anything go off, I can have water. I have a bucket of water or two put one side. I will use them up once the tap is running. You know, that use one at a time. We got to help ourselves. When we wake up and there's a big burst, we are calling in no water. Yes, they have the right to call in. But if we got to put something, some water aside, you know, just in case. You never know when there's going to be a big burst. You never know, to help ourselves. You know, and until the mains are very old, and one day trying to dig up the main, they're going to hit something else, and that's going to cause water outage. We know people are suffering for water. I know what they're going through, because if you don't have no water, you feel like, you know, you don't know what to do.
You're lost, yeah.
Right, but we got to help ourselves by I go and buy a couple buckets, and, you know, and I wash them out and sterilize, and I have them for water. You understand? We got to help ourselves. Try and buy every house in some country. If we get the country, every house have a water tank. You understand? Water tank. They was trying to do it here, and it never come to pass. But we got to try and get water tank. Little one, big one, depends on your family and your pocket. And see if you don't even have to connect it up yet, because I have one. And I can turn the water on, and I can get water out. I don't have the pump and thing as yet. But I make sure I buy one, you know. And I didn't buy cash anyway. I, you know, take it out and I pay for it. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have the money to buy cash, then that's it, you know.
Correct.
But now I'm going back to the last one, to Reverend Hatley. He talk about people are suffering. People cannot send their children to school. They don't have no money to buy their children's clothes. He represents somewhere in St. Michael. I forget which area. He said that he's not taking the money from Parliament to use. He should take the money from Parliament then and go and help the people that vote him to represent them. Why are you using it? Leave the money and help the people to buy uniform for their children. And if you say they're
but
suffering.
In the news clip, I hear him saying he's taking money from his pocket to help with the.
Tell me,
you heard
what
that
is
too?
He trying to prove? What is he trying to prove?
That he's a good representative. That's what he's trying to prove.
To me, people are coming to you, even if they have money, to see what you can do to help them.
Right. There are those people out there, for sure. I could tell you that. There are those people
right.
out there.
So even if they have money, they are coming. So he's taking the money out of his pocket to support them. And he get money every, is it every month? I don't know how they get it, to help the community. So why is he, what game is he playing?
But he game? Is the he's the leader of the loyal opposition. That is what he's doing. He's being the leader of the opposition.
Corey, I would take the money if I was a leader. Well, she mean, you know, I would be a rebel leader. You know, I would go and take the money and help my people. Mm-hmm. You know, the one who desperate then, mm-hmm. as he say, that game. You're a pastor.
One of the things I admired with some of the constituencies, I started to see it happen where these constituencies started to build foundations. Mm-hmm. And once they are managed properly, they have the right accountability and so on, and their fundraising is done in a above board manner. And why I say that is because if you have a foundation that looks after a constituency and you get all of your big donations from X or Y, you know about the quid pro quo and what they will call for. I also knew of that happening. But I started to see these foundations started to raise funds, and I started to like that, because the weight that is placed on the politician, with the, you know, a lot of people don't know, but you see the funerals and the back to all like now, a lot of them are see ducking and hiding. You see the back to school. Oh my goodness. It's like the worst time ever for them. And I think that if they have these foundations, instead of having people, you know, have to try to pull from their pocket or duck and hide, and the foundations outside of these peak periods should be looking for ways in which, how can we empower people so that next back to school, you don't have to come back to me. And I think that is where we really fall on. That's just something to throw there for them to think about. But good points raised, Winnie. Thank you. Have a good day. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Corey.
Yes, please.
Yes, how are you doing?
I am remarkable.
I like
you like that one.
Yes,
and I like that one. Yes,
yeah,
please.
I like a comment you made earlier when you said to former minister, Mr. Kelman, before you come and join me. Mm-hmm. I love that one. Because sometimes...
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Huh?
No, yes, I agree. Some, we come here and fight too much, man.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like myself, I've been putting a lot of stuff out there for some years, and you hear persons come and say some everything other than they say, let me go and fortify your role and join him, mm-hmm. which would make a lot of sense. So mm-hmm. I sort of like the comment, and I think you give a good account of yourself as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to ask one question here today. What has become of that thing that we were hearing about the minimum wage? It was there. It was there for some time. Then we had some recent discussion relative to, but to date, it has not been officially enacted, because there's still the concern about the cost of living, and the minimum wage is still an issue. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you have to say relative.
Yeah, it's
to
something. I was actually relooking the manifesto of the now Barbados Labour Party led administration, and it is one of the things that actually we find in the manifesto in terms of addressing this whole idea of the minimum wage, even outside of the shops app, and putting it something across the board. I don't have it in front of me right now. I could pull it up. But it's something that I think that we should be looking towards in terms of holding the government to account on the document, because manifestos are usually used a week before and up to an election, and then they become almost null and void. Now, the famous saying that a manifesto is not a social contract, we remember that, but they still believe the public should still be able to hold that to the hand and then hold the feet to the fire of the government to say, listen, these are some of the things that you promised. Where are we with this? Let's update this and that. Now, we appreciate the environment that we're in. We appreciate you trying to do a number of things at once. And it's a lot of it should we still be able to be done, because remember, we have a big cabinet, and therefore if each one pays attention to their own aspects of the manifesto, we should be able to get a number of things done at the same time.
Well put. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly, because I understand the climate, the economic situation, the constraints, etc. But outside of that, we need to understand. And I've been making this point for some time. It is that every cent counts here and persons want to make sure that they're looked after in regard to keeping up. You know, you hear about the basket of goods, you hear about this and hear about that. And minimum wage, I think, would be vital in the circumstance that we are in right now.
Totally agree. The WhatsApp says, by law, a fetus is not considered a human being as long as it is in the stomach of a woman. A child has to be out of the body and breathing to be viewed as a human being. So if a woman has reason to get an abortion, she has not taken a life. This one says, hi, there's a serious problem with water in Hope Road, St. Lucie. From 2018 until present, the water is very salty, murky, like tarnished brown color. It tastes awful. An old lady who was diabetic and hypertensive, she can barely see, used it, and she took ill. All of the clothes are there piled up from not washing. You cannot cook, bathe, you cannot do anything with it. You have to purchase bottled water to do all these things with. And it's not fair to the people of Hope Road. You have to pay for water you cannot use. Could you kindly pass the message on to Brass Tacks and the Barbados Water Authority? Thanking you kindly, I await your response. When last we had the Barbados Water Authority here, a few weeks ago, this actually came out, and this predates 2018. It goes back, and they actually explained that they have to be flushing of the lines, and they actually said they have a solution towards changing out some of the mains and some other things. But I believe that this can be raised with them again, and I'd like to encourage this contributor to tune into this Sunday's Brass Tacks, as we have the minister and the management team here to remind them of the water woes of those in St. Lucie. And I'm sure the MP for St. Lucie should also be doing the same thing with his colleague in cabinet and in parliament. Donna Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon, come true. You're on Donna Brastats. Okay. Donna Brastats, you're on the air. This one says, please tell the WhatsApper that the fetus is in the womb and not the stomach. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air. All right, not sure what's happening there. Will we get that together? He says, okay, there's another person that wants to be a part of the group. And to remind you, those of you who are trying to get a part of this group, you can send your numbers and I would pass them on to the guy. And I hope that this is not like those pledging exercises where everybody says they want to be a part and then nothing happens after that. Let me see if we get somebody's WhatsApp before we go back to the line. I know we're approaching the news, but let me do one or two more. No. Good morning, Corey. MTW has a permanent secretary, a deputy permanent secretary, and other staff to act on a daily management of the ministry. The minister has responsibility with respect to policies. And I believe that is in connection with the person talking about trying to reach the minister on the issue of the late polls. Hi, Corey. Ask the minister that... I can't read that one. There's one that was sent earlier I wanted to read, and I was trying to get my hands back on it again. I think I have it here. No, it says, the Defense Force serves no purpose to Barbados other than to give employment to young men. It is an army that cannot defend any attack, not even from St. Kitts. It has no military resources that established should be reformed and bring into economic communication into the society. It says, basically saying it should be reformed as a military to establish and reform and help bring economic contribution to the society. One of the things I was reading is that we actually had an air force as the Barbados Defense Force. All the air equipment was retired back in 1985, and there are talks and plans actually bringing them back into play. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air. Hi, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
How are you keeping?
I'm keeping good. What about you?
How is the case?
They're good as well.
Yes, I was getting start water on Sunday too.
Mm-hmm. You live in St. Lucie?
No, I live in Gahar. And okay. They called the water workers and they told me that they have to flush the hydrants. But it can't be pressure Monday morning.
Mm-hmm. You mean taking the salt water?
204 and 102. 79.
Whoa.
And my person knew you want 55 or something like that.
Okay, when you called the authority, what type of response did you get?
They told me that they're the splash dehydrants.
Right. And that's all?
Yeah, they never told me. That's all they say, but it won't taste very salty.
All right, what I want you to do is make sure you tune in on Sunday and actually speak to the management team so that they can actually tell you about what they have planned to deal with these situations. Because it is not the first time that we've heard about this, the particularly white water and the salty water. They had explained that the white water is actually not chlorine. It is actually very, very fine bubbles. So it's air that's actually in there. And people complain the pain for air because that air, that same air passes through the meter. And it gives a reading, so I guess that could be of concern. One of the things, if I'm not able to, and I won't be able to contribute on Sunday, that I would like the, and I'll probably ask Sanka to put this to the management team, is the whole idea of the billing, and billing at 52 days and so on. I had a bill once that had 52 days. When that happens, it is clear to me that you'll be put into the more expensive band because you'll use more cubic meters of water over a period of time. And when you have 488 and 733 by X amount of cubic meters, it makes a massive difference. And I would like them to address that. That needs to be addressed because it is patently unfair.
I might be better for 31 days.
Mm-hmm. 31, I have no problem. 28, 29, 30, 31, yes. Anything after that, I have difficulty with. And 52 is definitely unacceptable. All right, ma'am?
Yes, please.
All right, thank you very much. We head into the latest one. We'll be able to take another call. We'll take some more. We'll take it. Got enough time. Take it. Let's try. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
I think that the whole issue of land and the squatting, and there were two things, right? One was short. I think if I come with the short one, I can get clipped, and then at the end of it. So I come with the longer version. I talk real slow because we're coming to the end of the segment. With the squatters, has a far more reaching in consequence than I think you're prepared to accept. You know, I got a lot of ancestry that was talking about here for years that worked virtually for free.
Caller, if you talk slow, fast, or in between, we would not have been able to get through this. So what I can do is ask you to hold on, and when we come back from the lunchtime latest, we'll tackle the issue of squatting. Brought to you by Anti-America. This time for the latest on Starcom Network News. The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks continues. It's just gone 16 minutes before 1. Remember, we finish at 2. There's a raving debate on my chat and on my WhatsApp before. It was talking about the difference between a belly, a stomach, and a womb. You know, people say the child in the belly. People say that we mix up the belly for the chest. They rub the chest and say the belly hurting. And it's a whole ruckus because of this thing. On a more serious part of it, though, a lot of persons are asking that the person who sent the message saying the fetus is not a human being until they come out and they breathe, they're pointing to laws which speak to second-degree murder for killing children, and like if you hit a pregnant woman, et cetera, et cetera. So they're actually asking for you to provide the location of this law of which you speak. They want to read it for themselves. So please provide that. As many people have gone on to make commentary on that, I'll read a couple of them if I may. But I also want to read these ones. It says, just because you don't see what the BDF does, it doesn't mean it is not needed. You Bajans make me so sick because we are such a reactive people and not proactive. It's a good thing certain decisions are not determined by the public. This one says, from the time a fetus is formed, it's a living person. Abortions are wrong. There are videos that show how an abortion is done and the child is moving away whenever the needle gets near. Wow. I want to read one or two before we go back to the lines. I think we have to go back to Mr. Anti-America. But I wanted to read this one from this morning. It says, now see this. This is where I feel like efforts to rally men are intentional subtext to more important issues. Men there follows 2 days after the start of the 16 days of activism for the elimination of all forms against women and girls. The period runs from November 25th to December 10th. Does Men's Day support the 16th day? And is it tied into the effort? If we accept that domestic violence affects both men and women, what is the point of taking the focus off the agenda to go and celebrate Men's Day? It feels as though focusing on domestic violence is being interpreted as an affront to men. If we do not want to battle, why would we see it this way? It goes on to says, now the National Organization of Women has had a male champion for the last 2 years in Patrick Salt Bellamy. We have long incorporated supportive men in our work and they share our space. Donor Brass Stacks is here at 434-1790. You can give us a call, the WhatsApp 266-4862, where we try to read as many WhatsApps as possible. There's one I was looking for just now. It is very interesting. Yes, I need to read this one before we go back. It says, why is the wait in all government entities so long? And they take so long to address a particular situation. I could go on that. Don't start me. Why is it that persons in authority, magistrates, police, and even other governmental organizations are allowed to speak to the public in insulting and harsh ways? In some regards, they see you as no good. And others say you're wasting their time. This one says, if they are in my shoes, they will know what it feels to be rejected. It goes on to say some other things, but I like this part. It says, many of you from this Down to Brass Tacks programs just read these comments and y'all do nothing about it. I am speaking on behalf of a friend who has no one seemed to lend an ear to him and he is on the verge of suicide at the moment. Well, we read it, but we do nothing. What are we to do? Somebody asks. What can we do? Many people, and I'll share this because it's very important. It's a very serious note for me. Many people meet me at the front in the lobby and they call and they say, listen, Corey, I've been to my MP. I've been to my lawyer. I've been to the police. I've been to the ombudsman. I've been to the attorney general. I've been to the governor general. We have no one left but to come to you, y'all, the moderators. And I go like, whoa. I laugh, but I go like, whoa. When y'all come to me, I'll send y'all to Dennis. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. There is a body of opinion that does not agree with Mr. Marie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been around for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Some of us do actually believe that Sidney Burnett was not a threat to Barbados. And it was in the interest of the administration at the time to make it appear that way.
Mm-hmm.
I've been around long enough to recognize that a lot of information that is fed to us as the public is in fact not true. And I'm most certain that in those days, when they were saying that Sidney Burnett was coming to overthrow Barbados, it was just one of those things that were drummed up to fashion support in a particular direction and against someone else. I do not agree with Mr. Murray. Mr. Adams came to power in 1976. He left. He was there for 9 years. I think he died in office and thereabouts. Independence was since 1966. The Barbados Defense Force came into being on August the 15th, 1979.
That's correct.
My goodness, but that's almost a decade and a half.
Mm-hmm.
What took place in that 1979, a mere 3 months before, and the exact date was March 13th, 1979, was an overthrow of the Grenadian government by a company, by a group of people, by a party known as the New Jewel Movement under Maurice Bishop, my favorite prime minister. I kid you not. No one is better than him. He was the most charismatic, the most intelligent by far and away. Came to power. Now, to my mind, that particular period sealed for me the kind of shakiness that I know me and this legal fraternity will go on forever, that the fraternity had. They never really thought that they, you know, this was a major threat to the fraternity stranglehold and the Barbadian policymakers and stuff. Mr. Adams had to do something to make sure that this continued, the status quo continued. And his best move was to transform what was originally called the regiment, Barbados Regiment, into a defense force. Now, that defense force was not made to defend me as a Barbadian. That is my opinion. It was not created to defend me. Because if the Venezuelans decide to, or the Trinidadians, who are 1.5 million people, decide to invade Barbados tomorrow, there's nothing that the Defense Force could do. They don't have the power to stop it. If you're going to defend Barbados, you need a hell of a lot more firepower than what the Defense Force can presently offer. That Defense Force came into power for one reason only, and that was to defend the Prime Minister of Barbados from a similar event, a similar occasion, eventuality, as what took place in Grenada about 3 months previous. That was the only reason why the Defense Force was formed. And I would challenge Mr. Murray or anyone else to challenge me on that. I was alive. I was probably in diapers at the time, but I was alive at that time. And that
well, what you're saying is logical.
But you agree with Mr. Murray, so it can't be logical, no.
I agree with him from the historical points because I wasn't aware of them. Now, you want me to challenge something I don't know about, so I can't challenge you on what you're saying. What I'm saying is logical, I don't believe that you can come out and just say this is the only reason because then you would have to be in the mind and the brain of the Prime Minister at the time.
Well, you're putting on defense for something that's.
But it's not a. I don't need to defense force. What I am saying is that you are putting motive to an individual who's not here, by the way, to say whether you're right or wrong. But were you in the brains of the Prime Minister?
You know, as obvious as that is, you cannot be smoke without fire. You cannot have such. Things don't just happen by coincidence. You cannot have a Prime Minister who was in power for as long as the Prime Minister Adams was. And because of this specific incident, it now has to be ignored, and just coincidentally, 3 months afterwards, you have a defense force. I think a reasonable person, and I am probably below reasonable, so any people smarter than me should be able to connect the dots and recognize that that has to be, if not the only reason, the primary reason for having a defense force. No, come, Mr. Murray, challenge that. But I don't think anything about Sidney Burnett has anything to do with it. I don't think that independence, which was 15 years previous, has anything to do with it. But if I'm wrong, well, therefore, I am wrong. But I don't think I'm wrong. That was the short version. I'm sorry. Can I just go on to the longer version, if you don't mind?
Go.
Now, you know, like I say, we have people that worked these lands for 300 years. And that the British government came out and did the right thing. The British government, I think, in 1835 or 1836, they say they're going to the Rothschilds or somebody in Europe. And they're going to borrow what's the equivalent to 300 billion pounds sterling. They borrowed that from a bank in Europe, or a couple of banks in Europe, and decided they could pay all the plantation owners in Barbados and Jamaica and Trinidad, wherever else they had them, and pay these people so that the slaves could be free. You know, they bought the freedom of these slaves, all right? So the white people then, because most of them were white, I don't know if I had any black plantation owners back then, they take the money and say, okay, well, all right, thank you, Mr. Government. We can take this money, we can release the slaves, we can put them in some kind of indenture, you know, some kind of master slave, something. Apprenticeship thing, but we're going to release them. They're going to be free men. They paid for the slaves. So the slaves of Barbados were bought by the British taxpayers. The last payment was only made about maybe 4 years ago. Now, the problem is all that free labor that these slaves put up still got to be paid for. Because surely by now the Barbados government must recognize that slavery is not legal. It's an atrocious thing. And somehow we recognize that for that labor, it now has to have some merit, some worth. It has to have some capital value. Now, who's going to pay for that labor? Obviously not the British government. The British government has already paid for your slavery, for your freedom. So who is going to pay for the work that was done for 300 years? My opinion is the white people who own the plantations. They're the ones who are supposed to pay for the land, for the labor for all them years. But them did. So you can't go back there and ask people that dead to pay. So what about the people who have inherited the land, who have benefited from all that free labor, and who are now using that benefit to their best benefit in the present generations going forward? You'll say, well, okay, but them left Barbados, and you can't find all of them. You can't even relate, meaning maybe half cousin or three quarter. There's no way you can actually connect. So the way I see it, the best way forward, and this is only one argument. Huh? This one argument is on the other side, because you're going to oppose it. But I'm sure the solution falls somewhere in the middle. But this is the other side. The value of that 300 years of effort has to be invested in the value of land that we see, that we call Barbados. All of Barbados, from the airport back to the seaport, every single inch of land represents the 300 years of free labor. That is where the value is. And at some point in our history, that should have been recognized. And at some point in our history, the availability of land to every single Barbados, every single person in Barbados, should have been part of the process. But of course, that never took place. In fact, what did take place is that we ended up with a situation now where people could work as hard as your great-great-great-great-grandparent in the cane field and cut down bear cane or load garbage into the back of a truck. I will work as hard as all of them. I will never, ever be able to get enough money to get a stake in that same land in which their forefathers and their ancestors have vested their interests and their sweat and blood. They can't get it because the nature of their job is no longer respected as being worthwhile of the kind of pay they're supposed to get. And on the other hand, the fraternity, the same fraternity that Tom Adams decided he's going to have a defense force to defend, they can get access to that land by simply signing the bottom of a piece of paper. Because their value is connected to the value of the same land all of our grandparents worked for, great-great-grandparents worked for free. They are paid, and their remuneration is based on the value of the land. Now, I say that's a corruption of justice. That's a corruption of history. And if you cannot in some way find a middle ground, and if you're in that middle ground, you continue to let that particular scenario continue, but then, of course, you're saying to Barbadian black people that all that effort, all that free work is of no use, of no value. Again, the fraternity got one up by the short and curlies. And they're going to entertain that for, you know, the defense force, as far as I'm concerned, could pack up and go home tomorrow, except for the fact that, you know, a lot of people will have no work to do. But they're only there for that reason. The fraternity got y'all by the short and curlies, and when they can't even see
I like
it.
How we can't say we, but you can say a winner. I love it.